time. It is truly a good way to be going, knowing that that is where we are going to find refuge.
Amen.
A place to hide. A place to hide. It is important that we realize that all through our lives that we have had a place to hide. I was watching and laughing at Sister Latanya's grandson as he was trying to hide behind her earlier. And that is how children do when may not necessarily be in trouble, and he wasn't, but doing something that may draw attention and try to hide behind somebody. We've all done that. And some of us will still do it. Anita tell me time to time, you know, that when I'm messing with one of the grand boys, and this has been happening for years, not necessarily just the grandchildren, but with some other nieces or nephews, and I may hit one of them, and they may hit me back, and I will try to hide behind her, and she would say, no, don't put me in the middle, because I'm going to hit both of you. But we do. We try to find a place to hide, and that is what I want to talk to you about on this evening. We're going to look about four different places through the scriptures that it was a place to hide. And these are good things now. This is not going back to the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve tried to hide from God. I have a sermon on that as well. You know, you can run, but you can't hide. But these places here that we're going to look at on this evening were places that were designed in order to keep God's people from harm or safe. And we look at that, and we have to examine it because of what the Bible says. The first place that we're going to look at is the ark, and all of them popped up there like they were supposed to, and that's okay. I mean, I don't have to click anything. The ark, in the book of Genesis chapter 6 through 8, we find that the wickedness of mankind had come up before God, and God, you know, was displeased with this. It repented him that he had ever made man. And what he said to Noah was that I have found favor with you. And with the favor that I've found, I want you to build an ark, and you and your house are going to be able to go into the ark, and you are going to be saved. There in Genesis chapter 6, going through chapter 8. You just read it, and at your leisure, you know the story. You know it all so well that as Noah was building his ark, the people was there, and they weren't paying any attention to wanting to get their lives in order. They didn't care about a place of safety. They didn't care about a place to hide. They didn't care really about what Noah was doing, but Noah didn't let that bother him. He continued to build that ark. And when the ark was complete, do you know what happened? Exactly what God said would happen. Noah and his family went inside the ark. The floods came. Everyone else was outside. Noah and his family were brought to safety. They were saved, the Bible teaches us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, that they were saved by water. But where were they saved? They were saved in the ark. Away from the floods, away from destruction. But everyone else was outside the ark. They were not safe. So we have to know that when God tells us this is where you need to go, that's where you need to go. You don't waste any time doing it. You know, Brother Ollie's prayer, not on today, but he's prayed in times past, and you read it many of times where he says, the psalmist, as he was writing, he said, I look toward the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Safety. Doing what God wants us to do. Knowing that he looks at his children and he provides a place of safety for them, a place to hide. In the book of Genesis chapter 12, we find that the people there, they were supposed to go into the houses and not come out of the houses in order to have safety. And I believe that when you read something of the nature as we read talking about the things that we're supposed to do, there is still safety. We know that Abraham, when God told him and his house to move, that's what he wanted them to do. Take your house and I want you to move. I'm going to send you to a place, where the land is plentiful. Well, you don't have to worry about anything. Go and read about Abraham and his house. What God told him to do. And I believe that many times when we look at the things in which God has told us to do, that there are many times we want to do just a little bit extra. We want to take someone else along with us, or we want to take some baggage that we're not supposed to do take. I want you to know that God is one that has never failed man. Man, in so many times, in so many cases, have failed themselves. Look at verse 4 there of Genesis chapter 12. It says, so Abram went, and the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Took Lot with him. But what did God tell him? He said, you know, you take your family, and you go to this place. And not only that, but you continue to read and you find that as he went to this place, and there comes there in chapter 13 where he has to separate away from Lot. Lot went to the place where we know that's called Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, and he loved that place, and he loved it so much that he really didn't want to leave when all the trouble was going on. And sure enough, his wife didn't want to leave. I want you to know that when you're in a place where you shouldn't be, you need to move on. You need to be seeking after what God wants you to do. He even told them at that time, you go across the plains, go back to the hills, a place of safety once again, because I'm getting ready to destroy this place. And we have to know that when we think about it, and we think about these places, because God is going to provide the protection, where can we hide today? But we stop and we look there in Joshua chapter 2, verses 12 through 24. When we look at what God tells Rahab, reference to her family. Now, this message was given by man, but this message is from God. That you and your house will be saved as long as everyone is inside of those walls of the house. You get your family, you gather them up. And that's what we do today. We talk to our families about God. We talk to them about where there's going to be safety. Yeah, you may be comfortable right there. You may think that the place where you are is protected from the elements there, protected from someone breaking in and stealing, but are you protected from the evil one? Are you doing what God wants you to do? We find that the message was given. You gather your family together and you bring them into the house. And when we come in order to destroy the city, everyone that's inside will be saved. Going and looking at chapter 6, and we know that those people were inside that house, that they were not destroyed when the walls fell down, but they were saved. Because they was hidden in the house, doing what is right. Then we go to Joshua 20, the cities of refuge. When a man kills another by accident, there's a place that has been designed in order for that man to run to in order that he may be saved. Cities of refuge. You look when you're riding through the city of Louisville, they have these safe places. I want to suggest to you that all of these places that have a sign on them that say a safe place is not really that safe. They have that sign there, and you go in and there's a false sense of security, and you think, I'm here and no one can bother me. You know, it's like the story of the three pigs, and where they're talking about, you know, they're building this house and building that house and building this one. And the old wolf, you know, comes and he huffs and he puffs and he tried to blow the house down. And we know that one that was made of straw, that it didn't last. The one that was made of wood, it didn't last. But the one of bricks, the wolf just couldn't blow it down. But I want you to know that house still wasn't that safe. Why? Because it's a fairy tale. It's a fairy tale. But we need to know when the cities of refuge were designed that they were a place of safety, that God would not allow anything to happen to those people. But these places today, you go in, you buy into this gated community because you want safety. You don't think anybody is going to bother you because there's a guard sitting there watching these people come in and come out. And when that gate opens and that guard is sitting there and he's nodding off, and when the gate opens and you drive in, you're not worried about what's behind you, but somebody is sneaking in behind you. It's really not a safe place, is it? A false sense of security. We lived in an apartment complex that had that false sense of security, and the gate was all the time broken. So we need to understand that a city of refuge that God designed was a safe place. It was a place to hide. Now we get to the good part. The church. The church that Jesus built. A place of safety. A place to hide. A place that God is going to protect you because you are now one of his children, because you have done what you're supposed to do in order to become a part of it. The scripture reference that was read from the book of Galatians chapter 3, it talks about how to get into the church. And when we find how to get into the church and we want to be safe, we don't want anything doubting about what's going to happen to us on that great day. We will listen to the word of God and we will do exactly what the word says. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, in the verse is 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. This is for Christians. There's no one outside of Christ that are going to or experiencing spiritual blessings. Is for the children of God. Don't you just love it when you can get something because of what you have done and the next man can't get it because he hasn't done it? I do. I've been in situations where I wanted something, but yet I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do to receive it, but others were receiving it. And if you want it bad enough, you'll do those things that are right before God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse is 16. Ephesians 2 and the verse is 16. And it talks about the reconciliation here. And might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Both into one body, the Jew and the Gentile. For a person that says, I'm a Jew, I'm one of God's children, but you are not because you're on the outside. That person needs to go to the scriptures. He need to go to the scriptures. That's the Old Testament. And look what God says, reference to the Gentile. He sent his son in order to die for the sins of the world. Not just one group of people, but all people. Therefore, all people can be saved. They can be saved. God will protect them because they're now have become one of his children. We find there in the book of Revelation chapter 14. We're going all the way to the end of this life. And as we go to the end of this life, we need to realize that it is now time for judgment. It is time now for God to look at the people that were called his people and that he's going to pass judgment upon them. And he says in verse 13 of the book of Revelation chapter 14, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. You're looking for rest. You're looking for a place of safety. That place is in Christ. It's in Christ, not outside of Christ. There are many of us that have put Christ on, but yet we don't have safety. We don't have rest because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Have you ever had that time where you were looking over your shoulder when you was out there in the world? Or where you were laying down at night but you had sleepless nights because your life just wasn't what it was supposed to be? When you're driving down the road, you're looking at everybody that passed by you. Oh, that car looks familiar. And you know you're ducking, you hide in your automobile. Now, you're supposed to be driving, but you're worried about the man next to you. But when you became a child of God, your mind was somehow put at ease, because now you know that no matter what happens, your past life is gone. You are now a child of God. Yeah, there are some consequences that still might have to be paid, but now you're okay. Because what does the Bible say once again? And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. But a man that dies outside of Christ, that man has something to worry about. I look, and we heard a conversation as I was coming in, and I joined in just for a little while. But we look at the things that go around the city. We look at the gang rivalries, and we look at the deaths that are taking place. And we look and we hear people say, or we see them write things down, and they're honoring this man, thinking that, you know, and saying that, oh, you know, he has been an example to us. He has done this and he has done that, and a person get up and preach that funeral, and they preach him right into heaven, but he has lived the life of a devil. What does he say? Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. So if the ones that die in the Lord are blessed, what about the one that dies outside the Lord? He's not blessed. It is not just those that are members of gangs. It's people that you see on a daily basis, those people that talk good to you, those people that do good things for you, but yet they're outside of Christ. They're unbelievers. And if they're an unbeliever, the Bible teaches us very well where they're going to go in the end. Let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, he says there in the 8th verse, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, and we'll just stop right there, the coward, the one that doesn't want to stand up, the one that doesn't want to defend what is right, the one that when something or someone come up against them, they are not running to God, but they're running away from God. They're not like Paul, when Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. They are ashamed. A coward is ashamed, and he very well should be ashamed. You don't deserve to wear the name Christian because you are a coward. Says the unbeliever, the one that does not believe in God's word, the one that is not willing to trust in God's word, to do what is right, what make it possible for him or her to enter into the place of safety, to hide in the bosom of our Lord, to be in a place where he can find or she can find rest. Jesus teaches that. You know, I believe that we have to go and we have to look at the word, and we have to say that I am going to live according to what the word says. But we continue, he says, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexual immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their part or their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. That death is coming. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment, the Bible teaches. So I ask, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? How are you going to live your life? If you were back there in the days of Noah, when the ark was being built, and you looked at Noah, I believe that, you know, when we build something, yes, we have the instruction, but there are times where we have problems. And God allowed Noah to build it to his specifications. But the people that were there and the people that was watching, Bible doesn't say anything about them assisting. But we know that if we ever help someone with something, we want to be a part of it. But the Bible says only 8 souls were saved. Then you think about Abraham and his house. Think about Rahab and her house. And you think about the cities of refuge. If you were one that accidentally killed someone, would you not, and everybody was trying to kill you, would you find that closest city to you and run to it? I believe that we all say that we would. And we run very quickly to it because we want to save our lives. I didn't mean to do it, but it happened. But I know where I can find safety, and I'm going to that place in order to hide from my enemies. But what about your life now? What about right now? Looking at what God wants us to do and doing those things. The church, being in Christ, is where we need to hide. Knowing that he will take care of us. And he will take care of us in a fashion that no man can do. He will take care of us because we know that his word is important, and we know that we need to listen to what is being said. We need to hear his word. The Bible is very clear on that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, there in Romans chapter 10 and the verse is 17. Again, let me back up just for a moment. What if Noah wouldn't have listened to God? What would be a man then if he hadn't listened? See, we have to think about these conditions, but we know that Noah did listen, and he built that ark. What if Abram wouldn't have gone as God told him to go? He wouldn't be the father of the faithful, would he? But he is the father of the faithful. Joshua, when we think about Joshua going in and talking to Rahab, well, what if Joshua wouldn't have done those things? What if Rahab wouldn't have listened? Rahab wouldn't be in the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She's talked about in Hebrews chapter 11. She was a woman of faith, but we know that her past life was something terrible. But she became a woman of faith. We need to think about it. And we need to think about our lives today. Going back, hearing the word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You need to believe what you hear. Well, we just examined there in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, that the unbeliever will have his part in the lake which burns with fire. You think it's hot outside right now? Oh, it's going to get hotter for some. It's going to be an unquenchable fire, a place where they're not going to find any comfort. So therefore, we all need to understand the importance of believing God's word. Jesus says in John 8:24, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Dying in sin is what's going to cause a man to be cast into outer darkness. It's going to cause a man to be cast into the lake which burns with fire. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? If not, you believe in God's word. You understand the importance of repenting, having a change of mind, having a change of direction, going in a way that God wants you to go. In the book of Luke chapter 13, verse 3, he says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, I want to back up again, and you may get tired of me backing up, but I'm going to back up again. Some will stop right there. You know who God is? Oh, he's the creator of this world. You know, all you got to do is have faith in him and you'll be saved. That's what man teaches. But Jesus teaches a whole lot more than that, doesn't he? He teaches that you need to repent. You need to repent because of the life and style that you have lived. You need to turn to him. And God even tells his people that. If you return to me, I'll forgive you. Just return back to me. So we have to repent. We weren't born sinners into a sinful world, yes, but we were not born sinners. We were born perfect. As little babies, we were born perfect. Therefore, we have to repent. We have to come back. And we have to do the things that are right. And within doing this, there is a condition that needs to be met. The condition is that we have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have to make this confession by man. He says, if you will confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. There are many people that don't want to do that. They don't want to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They don't want to confess him before man. If you don't, then he won't. He won't. But yeah, you want someone to speak up for you. You want someone to say something on your behalf. Here's the thing. He'll say something on your behalf, all right. I don't know him. That's on your behalf. What do you mean you don't know me? I don't know you. But didn't I walk with you? Didn't I talk with you? I still don't know you. We went some distance together, knowing again what Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 teaches. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Have you ever been in trouble? Or you ever tried to go to a place and you try to get in on someone else's name? You try to tag along with someone else? Well, what does Jesus say in the book of Luke, I believe chapter 6, verse 47? Woe, I call it me Lord, Lord, and do not the things in which I say. There's many people, again, that are not going to do what's right. They're not going to act the way that they're supposed to act. But I believe that as we look at the scriptures, that's Luke chapter 6, verse 46. I believe that we need to understand the importance of confession. And then one needs to be baptized. Baptized according to what the scriptures teach. There are many scriptures. Brother Gabe read that one there in the book of Galatians chapter 3 that teach about baptism, putting Christ on through baptism. That's how we become his children. That's how we hide ourselves in him, by being baptized, buried in a watery grave. Matthew chapter 28 verse 19. You go out and you teach, he tells them, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He tells them, you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know what that means? You know what that tells me? That it is not God doing the baptizing, but it is man doing the baptizing. It is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but this is water baptism. We have to look at the Bible, and we have to do the things that the Bible says. Mark 16, 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Oh, there's that man that says, well, Mark 16, or going back up, actually, I think verse 15 and following, those are really not in the original text. I really don't care about the original text. I care about the text I have before me. This is the word of God to me. This is what I have, and this is what I'm going to read. So again, I tell people, okay, you don't want to use Mark 16, 16. That's okay. God has made sure that there's no doubt that baptism saves. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized. The people asked that question on the day of Pentecost. Well, when Peter preached that message, stood up with the other 11 and preached that message. The same Jesus whom you have crucified, God had made both Lord and Christ. Oh man, what am I going to do? The Bible said they were pricked in their hearts there in verse 37 and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, to your children, to those that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. You know what? You're being called right now to be obedient to the gospel. Many have answered that call. And as we have answered that call, we need to live up to our name as being a Christian. And we find in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. See, you can't say that you're a child of God without being baptized. We've had people to state that, you know, I am a Christian and I wasn't baptized the way that you're talking about. I wasn't baptized in order to be saved. I used to be the same way. I thought that I was a Christian. I thought that the things I was doing was honorable before God. I was a good person. Was not a child of God and learned the truth. I had to sit down and study the word. Someone had to help me to better instruct me, as we was reading this morning and talking about, in the way of the Lord more perfectly. Understanding that the ways of the world, what the world teaches, is not going to make you a child of God, but what God has taught, what the Holy Spirit inspired men to write down, is what's going to cause an individual to become a child of God. So baptism is important. Then we find that as we become children of God in this place of safety, hiding in Christ, that we still have to do something. You're hiding there in your home because the thief is in your house. The robber's there. You're hiding in a safe place, or you've hid your children. And before you leave that child, you tell that child, real quiet. Be real quiet. Do not say a word, because if you do, the robber is going to hear you and he's going to come and get you. We've all been scared from time to time. If you haven't, well, good. I believe that we have all been scared from time to time where we were real quiet and we didn't say anything. But here we find that God doesn't want us to be quiet. He wants us to look at His Word and He wants us to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow. In order to grow, you need to be fed. And in order to be fed, you need to open up your hearts. I'm not going to tell you to open up your mouth. Just open up your heart. Let the Word of God sink in. Allow it to allow you to mature. See, as children, we ran our mouths a lot. And we got in trouble a lot. But as we got older, we learned how to keep our mouths quiet and just listen. Yeah, how many of us as children have been sitting there listening to grown folks talk, and before we know it, we tried to join into the conversation and got popped in the mouth. See, we have to learn how to be quiet and how to grow. That's why many of us are where we are right now, because we learned how to be quiet and grow. We don't have all the answers, but we know where to get the answers from. The only way that you're going to be able to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is by Him. Looking at the Word and doing the things that are right. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse is 15. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Looking at the Word, studying it, applying it to your lives. I mentioned this the other day when we started talking about study. I don't know what type of study habits you have. I don't know how you study, but that question is asked from time to time. How do I study my Bible? Because this is how many of people study. Well, I guess I'll go ahead and spend a little time in God's Word and study it for a while. Oh, wow. Let me study now about Elijah. That's where the Bible turns up to be. That's what I'm going to read. That's what we do. Now, you need to get a plan. And you need to look at that plan, and you need to study by that plan. Yeah, there's a reading plan that talks about how to read your Bible throughout the year, but that's not a study plan. That's just a reading plan. We need a study plan. We need to formulate in our minds some good study habits, looking at the Word and studying it in order that we may grow. There's a reason why we need to grow. The reason why we need to grow is that we may be faithful. We may be faithful not just right now, but we need to be faithful until the very end. You know, many people use the book of Revelation chapter 2 and the verses 10. Be thou faithful until the death. You need to be thankful that we are here in the United States of America, where people are not coming up to us and saying, I'm going to kill you because you're a child of God, because many of us will not be faithful. You know what we'll do? If someone walk up to us and tell us, now I'm quick to do this now, I just want you to know right now, but not from this situation here. If somebody's doing something wrong and I think the law needs to be involved, you know what I do? I pull out my phone and I get ready to call the law. I did that to a man one time because he was trying to steal my lawnmower. He said, this is my lawnmower. I said, no, it's mine. He said, no, it's mine. I said, no, it's mine. I said, no problem. Wait just a minute. I pulled out my phone. He said, oh, it's yours. He said, I see the look in your eyes. No, what he saw was my phone and me getting ready to call the law. We need to understand, when we start talking about being faithful, and talking about being faithful to the death, that if someone say that they're going to kill you because you're a child of God, many of us, we're going to drop our faith and we're going to say, I need the law. And you're going to call the law on them because they're threatening to kill you. But what we need to be doing is we need to be praying to God that our life is in order and that we have done the things that God wants us to do. But being faithful is just more than to the death. That we have to be faithful until the very end. And as we think about being faithful until the very end, that our lives need to be in Christ. In the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and the verses 14, he says these words, for we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end, firm to the end, our original confidence. Now, there's many people that have strayed back out there into the world. They were not faithful until the very end. They let go. Why did they let go? They let go because of what some man came in and taught them. They let go because they love this world more than they love God. They let go because maybe some troubles were happening in their family, and their family member told them, if you continue to worship God, then I'm going to not be with you any longer. A lot of us just let go. What we have to do is we have to hold firm, hold firm. You know, as growing up again as a little boy and there skinning a squirrel with my daddy and just so excited. Now, Daddy, what do I do next? What do I do next? He said, just hold what you got. Hold what you got. And I believe that when we use that and we think about it, we as Christians, why am I doing what I'm doing? Just hold what you got and everything is going to be okay. God is going to allow you, if you're faithful unto the end, if you're faithful unto the death, if you have grown the way he has told you to grow, you've done the things in which he told you to do, not just confessing before baptism, but professing him after baptism, he's going to allow you an entrance into the kingdom according to what we read there going back to Revelation chapter 14. Because we died in Christ, he's going to let you come into heaven. He's going to let you come into heaven because that's his dwelling place. And that place can be yours as well. If you're here and you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to become a child of his. We want you to understand this is a place to hide. This is a place where God wants you to be. And he will continue to protect you. The ark of safety is what we call it. Being in Christ, in the church. Not outside the body, but in the body. You know, if your heart was outside the body, you're going to have a difficult time living. There have been some instances where they say that this man's organ was outside the body and he was still living, but he had some complications. He had some problems. And the same, you know, when we look at this world and we think about being outside the body, you're going to have a whole lot of problems. Oh, you may survive. You may live your life outside of Christ and you may die outside of Christ, but you're not going to get into heaven in the end. I don't care what you went through. Even in Christ, we're going to have problems. But if we're strong, if we're faithful until the very end, we will receive a crown of life. Are you willing to do what is right? If you're here and you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to become one, to come to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being immersed in a watery grave, rising to walk a newness of life. Maybe you're here and you're strayed away. We're asking you to come back before it's everlasting too late. If you're hearing your subject, please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.